This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. This week, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump sparred at their third and final presidential debate. Just one day later, they were tasked with exchanging jokes at the Al Smith annual fundraiser. How did that all play out? Joining me now, as he does often, is political junkie Ken Rudin. Welcome back, Ken.
Frank, it's the final debate. There's not going to be any more.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
3.5 weeks. Your life is a ruin.
No.
Although there's more to come. But listen, to me, the joke is in New York State, they're still celebrating Al Smith. I mean, what's that all about?
Well, you know something? They were obviously, it's supposed to be it is a Catholic charity. And this has been a ritual for as long as I remember in politics, where both presidential candidates come to the Al Smith dinner to make fun of themselves.
Yeah.
To see a presidential candidate get booed at the Al Smith dinner, at a fundraising dinner, at a charity dinner, I mean, that made this year's surreal campaign even more, ready for this word, surrealer.
Surrealer than ever.
Surrealer.
Al Smith, who I think supported drinking and Catholics. I think those are his main...
He was the first Catholic presidential nominee.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. And anti-prohibition. Go ahead.
Right, and when he ran for president, Herbert Hoover's campaign put out a button that said, "We need a Christian in the White House," as if a Roman Catholic was not a Christian.
There you go. That's exactly. Well, let's take us back to the presidential debates, which were hilarious on their own account, but not intentionally so.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Well, you know something, we were preparing for an unshackled Donald Trump, that he had nothing to lose. The polls, both nationally and battleground states, showed Hillary Clinton with a sizable and growing lead. So everybody thought that he would just, you know, take out all the stops. He'd do everything he can to win. And yet he seemed to be more defensive than ever, because it seemed to be Hillary Clinton with the one-liners and the jabs and the sarcastic attacks. So, I mean, not that a final debate was going to change his campaign, right, or anybody's campaign, if you look at history, but I don't think Donald Trump helped himself. Matter of fact, he probably, aside from assuring his strong supporters that he will be feisty as ever, I don't think he gained much or helped his campaign at all.
No, and in terms of the one-liners in favor of Hillary, and the fact that, you know, preparation was never really what was the hallmark of the campaign, I think showed up when you think about the kind of topics that Donald Trump chose, and again, the way Hillary handled them. Let's listen to this clip from the debate.
Putin, from everything I see, has no respect for this person.
Well, that's because he'd rather have a puppet as president of the United States.
No puppet.
And it's pretty clear.
You're the puppet.
It's pretty clear you won't admit that the Russians have engaged in cyber attacks against the United States of America.
The aforementioned he is Vladimir Putin, who is a big Trump supporter. But there you go. No, you don't. No, not me, not you. I mean, this is the best he can do, I guess.
I thought it was a great performance by Alec Baldwin, to be honest with you. I thought it was the best. I mean, this is so remarkable. No, you're not I'm not a puppet. You're the puppet.
Yeah.
I hate to insult fifth graders, but didn't it sound like fifth graders in a schoolyard?
Incredible. But so then Hillary, again, I guess just loaded with zingers. Here she goes talking about her opponent's qualifications.
In the 1990s, I went to Beijing, and I said women's rights are human rights. He insulted a former Miss Universe, Alicia Machado, called her an eating machine. And on the day when I was in the Situation Room monitoring the raid that brought Osama bin Laden to justice, he was hosting the Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah, the give me a break defense, always effective in a political
debate.
But
you know something, I mean, his argument about 30 years in public life, theoretically, was a winning argument in this year of the outsiders and this year about against politics as usual. One would think, or maybe he thought, that just attacking somebody who's been around 30 years is just, we need new blood and change in politics. But her response, let me tell you what I did with my 30 years, and let me tell you what you did with your 30 years. I thought that was an amazing and a very dramatic comeback for Hillary Clinton.
All right, so here they are. So we talk about the fact that that was the debate where they're supposed to be showing off their stuff. Then they go to the Al Smith dinner, which, as you say, is a fundraiser for Catholic charities in New York State. And here it's supposed to be a kind of a roast where people are making fun of themselves. Well, I'm going to play this clip now, because here's Donald Trump last night. One of the jokes he made, which I thought was remarkably sort of self-effacing and self-aware and a little bit surprising for me. Let's listen to this.
But I really have to say the media is even more biased this year than ever before. Ever. You want the proof? Michelle Obama gives a speech, and everyone loves it. It's fantastic. They think she's absolutely great. My wife, Melania, gives the exact same speech. And people get on her case.
Now, given how upset he was with the criticism of that whole episode when it happened, I thought it was pretty telling, perhaps, or at least interesting that he can laugh about it now.
Oh, that was actually a laugh out loud joke. I mean, it's hard to imagine Donald Trump being a laugh riot, but he was. I mean, this was an excellent line for him. It's a shame that he didn't keep that kind of mood throughout the evening when he got personal. I don't know if you have other kind of. Do you have any more tape from him at the dinner?
No, not from him at the dinner.
Because later in the dinner he talked about Hillary Clinton being so corrupt and she should be going to prison. And he said she pretends not to hate Catholics. And he got booed. And people, if you looked at the faces of people at the dinner, they said, "Oh my goodness, nobody does this at a Al Smith dinner." Right. And Donald Trump. I mean, we always talk about Donald Trump crossing a line. He did it to Smith dinner, and I mean, that's why he was booed, and I guess he just misread the audience completely, or maybe he didn't. Maybe he just wanted to be outlandish. I thought that line about Melania was very funny, but that was probably the end of the humor for him.
Yeah, and again, possibly earlier in the campaign, if he had shown some of that, who knows where we'd be today. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, not as hilarious, but she did have her moments.
So as I've said, we've now had our third and thankfully, final debate. Sharing a stage with Donald Trump is like, well, nothing really comes to mind. There is nothing like sharing a stage with Donald Trump. Donald wanted me drug tested before last night's debate. And look, I gotta tell you, I am so flattered that Donald thought I used some sort of performance enhancer. Now, actually, I did. It's called preparation.
Gotcha. There we go. Hillary Clinton trying her hand at roasting Donald Trump, Al Smith Memorial Dinner last night. I'm talking to the political junkie, Ken Rudin. Who got in the best jabs, you think, Ken?
Well, I think she did. I mean, not only Hillary Clinton did, not only in the debate, but also last night, I think. But not only the jabs, but I think there were more self-deprecating things that she said that really made me smile. I mean, she said, I hated that I had to disturb my nap to come to this dinner, and usually I charge $250,000 for this kind of speech. I mean, she did mock herself, but that's what candidates have been doing at these dinners for decades. And the thought of somebody getting booed, I keep going back to this, but I mean, it was supposed to be, it's a charity dinner. You're supposed to step back from the acrimony that we've seen in the campaign, especially a day after a very acrimonious debate. And yet it just didn't happen, or at least it didn't happen from one of the candidates.
All right, where do we go from here? Less than 3 weeks left until the actual election day. Early voting has already gotten underway here in North Carolina. What's the game? How does the strategy change now as Republicans on the inside are starting to prepare for the inevitable?
Well, here's the question. The question is if Donald Trump is really running to win, or has ever been really running to win, or he wants to start a movement of resentment starting November 9th. I think the key line, of course, in the debate 2 nights ago was the fact that he may not accede or agree with the results. Accept the results of the election, and this is part of that resentment that his supporters totally agree with. So I kind of think that with the Republican establishment, or what's left of it, so aghast at what's going on at the top of the ticket, they are desperately trying to save Republican control of the House and Senate, and that is questionable. Certainly control of the Senate is questionable. Democrats need to get net gain of 4 seats if Hillary Clinton is elected president, and they should win at least 2 in Illinois and Wisconsin. Wisconsin when Ron Johnson's the vulnerable Republican, and in Illinois with Mark Kirk. But then if they win 2 more, and New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Indiana, Missouri, they're all possible takeaways for the Democrats. that would make a Chuck Schumer the majority leader, and that scares the heck out of the Democrats, the Republicans, who don't want to give Hillary Clinton a blank slate, a rubber stamp Congress. To win the control of the House, the Democrats need a net gain of 30. That's probably not going to happen, but if Donald Trump tells people to Republicans that your vote doesn't matter because it's a rigged system, if more Republicans say, oh my goodness, I'm not going to bother showing up to vote, you know, who knows about the control of House, but that's what scares the Republicans the most.
Well, we've seen a shift already in emphasis. Republicans are talking about it. We've seen the American Chamber of Commerce all of a sudden go on the attack in Indiana against Evan Bayh, a very business-friendly Democrat, and they have shifted gears, obviously, concerned about control of the Senate the American Chamber of Commerce has. Can the Democrats do the same thing? Look, this is over. Let's focus on those statewide races.
Well, that's exactly what we do. I mean, people are talking about when Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama and the Obamas are campaigning in states like Arizona and Missouri and Indiana and North Carolina, you know, states like that. Yeah. People say, well, are they really hoping to win that state? Or maybe they're trying to boost Democratic turnout and vote against John McCain in Arizona and Roy Blunt in Missouri and get Evan Bayh elected in Indiana. So they really think they have a good shot at winning the Senate, and I think that's part of what the Democrats are doing. And Frank, you mentioned early voting. That is key, because if you think of what happened, what Barack Obama did in 2008, how he spent so much of his money on an organization on getting out that early vote, North Carolina is a perfect example. If you look at what happened on Election Day in 2008, John McCain got the most votes in North Carolina, but because of the Democratic early organizing for early voting, he won the state by 14,000 votes, and that's where organization really comes into play.
Ken, I'm going to take a break, but I want you to stay with us because I got a good friend of yours, Nick Galifianakis, is with us and the author of his new book, and you'll hear that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.